Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
Welcome to Hagman. This is the Hagman Report for today. It is Monday, the 26th day of April, 2021. I'm Doug Hagman, your humble host. Thank you so much for tuning into the broadcast today. With me is Eric the Tech, fresh off of a short weekend. Eric the Tech, how are you, sir?
Doing good.
Did you get enough Chipotle in you? He's, I gotta tell you, I don't know what's going on with him. I don't know are you pregnant? I mean, you know, these days you got to ask, right? Oh, see, okay, lady, it's okay. It's okay, lady, the studio dog, she's just, every time I raise my voice, she gets really upset. So I don't want to do that. But welcome, folks, to a Monday edition of the Hagman Report. HagmanReport.com. That's HagmanReport.com. Two N's on Hagman. Please do me a favor. Go to Rumble. That's right, Rumble. Not YouTube. Would not be prudent. Wouldn't be prudent, right? Go to Rumble and subscribe to our channel on Rumble. And if you didn't do this already, check out the special announcement there. 3 minutes, 3 minute special announcement on Rumble. Yeah, you gotta watch it all the way through. Yeah, I know. I know. Eric Texas. Yeah, okay. You did that, huh? I said, yeah. I'm not as good as Eric the Tech, so. Folks, you'll know what I mean. Special report. It's actually a new sponsor. The Lake Erie, a store in the Lake Erie Underground Mall. Emphasis on underground. I saw a comment there. Somebody, and God bless you, whoever did make the comment. I bet you the FBI is looking for that store as we, you know, going to all the malls. And you're probably right. You're probably right. A little bit of information apparently that hacked off our illustrious, Democratic leadership here in this area. I'm not going to get into it because I don't want to give them any oxygen. A lot of information to get into today, starting with Arizona audits. You know, this would be big news in an ordinary universe, but we're not living in an ordinary universe. So we're going to start off with that. And then, of course, the Democratic National Socialist criminals. Oh, have I got some stuff for you on that? What the DHS is doing, especially the local law enforcement, and why it matters. And this involves a police officer shooting in New Mexico. I was going to do a standalone piece on it, but I want to incorporate this with John Moore into today's program. So we've got that because this is a big thing. This is a kind of a big thing. Not kind of, this is a big thing when you understand what's really taking place. Boy, the lights are a little odd today. It looks like I've got dye in my hair or some shoe polish in my hair. I don't know. All right. Some COVID or COVID-1984 news in the non-vax news, you know, vaccine hesitancy and what European Union is doing to the American citizens and doing to their essentially concentration camp what's happening, and it's happening rapidly, and it's happening right now if we don't stop it. And, of course, the Calgary church official pastor taking another visit from the Nazis up there in Canada. And you know, you look to Canada, and a lot of people, myself included, I think a lot of Canadians are – no, you know, I've got to stop that. I can't say that. Canada has this reputation in some circles of being, you know, no, kind of laid back and, you know, not really willing to fight. Well, this pastor does. And I'm sure if you haven't seen the latest, and I'm not talking about the one two, three weeks ago or the one on Easter Sunday, the video. If you haven't seen the latest, you've got to see the latest and I'm going to show it to you. And then, of course, some, very, very cringeworthy fascist Fauci stuff going on here. I mean, you can't make this stuff up even if you try. I couldn't make this up. As a parody, I couldn't make this up. But it's real. and then some historical information showing that nothing we're seeing today is new. When I say historical, the context of what I have kind of brings it all together. All right, so, let's start off with this, because folks, understand this. Now, the venue is Newsmax. The platform is Newsmax, I should say. I don't know how many people are aware of this in the real world. Hopefully, if you're tuned into this broadcast, you know about this. There is a forensic audit taking place in Arizona. Maricopa County, 2.1 million ballots. It's at the amphitheater fairgrounds. All right. And this is being done. In fact, Eric the Tech, I've got to send you a photograph. I'm going to send that right now. So you guys talk amongst yourselves. But I want to send this right now to you because this is important to me, to show you the stark difference. You know, heads are exploding right now over the, pardon me while I look away from you. Why can't I do this? Oh, there it is. Okay. Heads are exploding right now when you look at, the left, their talking points on this audit saying, oh, it's an attempt to, what would you call it? Overturn the democratic system of voting. It's just a bunch of lies out there. But this image that I want to send to Eric here, we'll roll the video and Eric will have the image. When you see the difference and you see the reality of the situation between the audit today and the voting process of 2020, when these two images are side by side or atop of one another, it shows you exactly how far this republic has fallen. But for right now, let me introduce this, and then I'll bring John on. This is an update from Newsmax. Kelly Ward, Dr. Kelly Ward out of Arizona, explaining what's happening with the Arizona audit, which there's a lot of political stuff going on, too, and I should add this. In this audit, the left has really pushed back and saying, no, you can't do this. In fact, getting the law firm of Perkins Coie on board to say, you can't do this. Where have we heard Perkins Coie before? Right? The left is scared. The left, the media, they are afraid because this audit is going to really bring some information, necessary information. This audit is really going to expose the depth and breadth of the fraud in this country perpetrated by the criminal left and even some on the right. Those people on the CCP payroll, on the Chinese Communist Party payroll, the very same people who are supposed to be representing us, they're not. They're on the take, obviously, from the communist left, including and especially the Communist Chinese Party. And I don't care if we're talking about Arizona, but Georgia's next, too. But Arizona, Georgia, you've got Raffensperger, you've got all the rhinos in Georgia, you've got the rhinos in Maricopa County, and the Board of Supervisors in Maricopa County. You folks are hereby put on notice. You better be really afraid because we're coming. Collectively, we're coming to expose you. And speaking about exposing, we're doing a little bit of an audit here, investigation here. And I don't want to get too into the details of the investigation. But you know, there is an organization that brought in a few hundred, 160-ish young, supposedly all girls, but young preteen illegal aliens, embedded them up in this facility that used to be, what was it, Family First up there, sports park. It's now a dormitory. Okay, so they moved. They came in under the cover of darkness, these illegals, with the assistance of the Benedictine nuns here in this town in Erie, Pennsylvania. And these nuns are communist, in my view, are communist socialist nuns. Mike Kelly went up there, Representative Mike Kelly. God bless that man. our U.S. congressman. He went up there and he started asking questions. They shut him down. Now, I can't say more than that except to say there's a lot of money, a lot of underhanded deals going on here with this, with these. You talk about human trafficking. By definition, by very definition, that's what's taking place here, in my opinion. And based on my investigative research, human trafficking. My opinion, my investigative research, this is what's taking place. And a lot of money is changing hands. And I, you know what? I don't know where these children are coming from or going to. It's almost like a way station up here. All right. But that's, believe me, this, when that hits, when that explodes in this community, and it will, cover up. All right, let's roll this video. This is an introduction to the Arizona audit, and then we'll bring John on, and we'll go from there. Let's go.
There's an audit of the 2020 election results underway in Maricopa County, Arizona. The audit includes a hand recount of 2.1 million ballots and is being conducted on behalf of Republicans in the state Senate. It was halted briefly after Arizona Democrats filed a lawsuit claiming there were various irregularities with the effort, but continued after those same Democrats refused to pay a $1 million bond, which would cover any potential increase in costs as a result of that halt. Kind of funny how this all works. Here to discuss this is Dr. Kelly Ward, chairwoman of the Arizona Republican Party. Dr. Ward, thanks for coming on. Good to see you.
Hey, it's great to see you. Thanks for having me.
Sure. So tell us first off, what are you guys investigating?
Yeah, well, there is so much to investigate here in Arizona, but the state Senate has been relentless in their search. They subpoenaed basically everything in the kitchen sink. So we are going to do a full hand count of 2.1 million ballots. It's not just a rerun these ballots through the same machines and see if it comes out the same. It is a hand count. We're also going to be looking at the digitally adjudicated ballots, the ballots that wouldn't run through the machine. So a team of two county workers looked at them and decided what the voter's intent actually was. We'll be looking at the machines, the software, the hardware, the logs. We're going to be looking at everything.
Okay, fair enough. The president issued this statement earlier. Democrats, upon hearing the news of the court order, have sent 73 lawyers to Arizona in an effort to stop this recount and full transparency. Why are the Democrats so desperate to stop this election fraud from being revealed? The answer is obvious. I'm sure Democrats would argue this very differently, though. They would say Republicans are trying to destroy confidence in our elections. That would be their response. What's your response to that?
Well, Democrats also call election integrity voter suppression. So we all know we cannot trust what the Democrats say. They are hypocrites and they are liars. We want to get to the bottom of what happened in 2020. We know that there were abnormalities. We know there were mistakes. And we're looking to make sure that there was not outright fraud in the balloting process, in the paper ballots, in the electronic ballots, in the mailing system, and in the machines. So we've got a lot of work to do, and it was great. I got to talk to President Trump a couple of days ago, and he mentioned those exact same things. And we discussed that when Arizona is able to get this done, other states will be able and be strong and be empowered to get it done, too.
And it wouldn't reverse anything, right? This would just be for future reference.
Well, we don't know, because this has never happened in the history of our country.
Okay.
There has probably been voter fraud in our country, but nothing to the extent that we saw in 2020, in my opinion. So we don't know what will happen. People, that's one of the most common questions that I get, is what's going to happen after this. Certainly after this, we will be able to restore some voter confidence and some election integrity in future elections, but we don't know what's going to happen with 2020.
Fair enough. Dr. Kelly Ward, keep us posted what you guys find. We'll follow the story.
Yeah, and she was being very very tempered in what I believe that they're going to find. If you want to go to the Arizona audit page, folks, you can watch this in real time. The link will be in the program description box, along with John Moore's website at HagmanReport.com. If you go there, click on the link to the shows, find the show, you'll find this link in that area. The Arizona audit. Now, the picture that I was going to ask Eric to put up, I don't have. There are three cameras at every table, and there are tables that go the length of that amphitheater, if you will, that venue. And the three cameras and then an overhead camera, and then other cameras in addition to all of that. Now, the picture I was going to show you is the camera arrangement and the transparency above the picture from the 2020 elections where the left, they're preventing people from going in to watch the count, not the recount, but the count, putting up pizza boxes and putting up blocking, paneling and such over the windows. You remember those pictures? Quite the amazing graphic when you think about it. But there it is. So I would urge everyone to keep your eye on Arizona audit. It's going to last another 35 days or so. There are some issues right now with recusals and some challenges and such. But the bottom line here is we can't get there's no getting to 2022 or 2024 without resolving the issues of 2020. All right. So you need to really pay attention to what's going on. And Georgia is next, and we're going to be getting into that. After I bring John on, we've got a couple of other videos, including Rachel Maddow. And then, of course, Peter Navarro talking about Georgia. When I say Georgia is going to be next, Peter Navarro was on with Steve Bannon. It was on Saturday. I think it was Saturday, maybe Friday, but here in the last couple of days. And he really did a great job in explaining the numbers in Georgia and what Stacey Abrams has done to the voting process in Georgia. Anyway, before I get to John, I want to mention healthmasters.com. Folks, healthmasters.com, go there today, okay? You know, support your immune system. Support this broadcast. Support Health Masters. Get yourself a good nutritional supplement. Use Doug 5. I believe it's still active. Again, if you're lucky, Doug 5, to get 5% off your purchase of non-saleable items at healthmasters.com. That's healthmasters.com. And make sure you let them know that Doug sent you. I sent you. Okay, healthmasters.com. Healthmasters.com. Great stuff. All right, with that, John. How you doing, John? All right, we're going to get John Moore on here, thelibertyman.com. What we got? We got issues. There he is. I can see him now.
I'm here.
All right.
I'm here.
How you doing, sir? How you doing?
It's like the camera's a little bit out of focus here.
The feed is a little bit wanky. What do we need to do? Eric, the tech, do we need to, like, reconnect? His mouth is full of Chipotle stuff. I'm telling you, he's pregnant. Let's reconnect and see if that works out.
Well, okay. I got a manual focus on this camera too that I can adjust.
No, it's the feed, my brother. It's a feed.
It is. Oh, okay. Stand by.
All right. We're going to reconnect. All right. John Moore, thelibertyman.com. He's always got like really good stuff on his webpage. He's got a great show as well. Sam Andrews is a guest. Look, folks, go to thelibertyman.com. And, if you want to spend some really good time invest time into listening and watching, but listening specifically to shows, you can watch when he comes on ours, but listen to his show. Thelibertyman.com. That's the place to do it. And the feed is right there. It's very easy. You can get archive stuff, on there as well. Is it our feed or is it his feed? Not getting much help, ladies and gentlemen, from Eric the Tech. Who knows? I don't know. But you know what? No, it's right. Hopefully it's not our feed. All right. Let me know when you have them. And then we'll go from there. All right. So I'd mentioned about the Arizona recount. Like I said, you want to try him? All right. Let's try him. John, how are you?
I'm wonderful. Well, we got a clear picture. Praise the Lord.
And a clear voice. You're not talking like you're under a blanket.
Well, that's good too.
Yeah, that's good. That is good.
What direction you want to go first, Doug?
Well, if you don't mind, just one or two more things to finish this Arizona audit out, because you know, John, have you heard anything in the mainstream media about this? Any newspapers reporting on this?
Well, I get the Epoch Times, but it won't be published until next week. And I, quite frankly, I pay little attention to the mainstream media. Just, it's a waste of time, Doug. It really is.
Well, no, I get that. You know, I look at watching that like surveillance. You don't want to do it necessarily, but you've got to do it to see what the, you know, they're up to. And the mainstream media is very quiet on this, not spending any time on this. And when they are, it is stuff like this. And this is only, I think, it's a short clip. This is from the war room from Bannon. I pulled this off. I was going to put the feed from MSNBC on there, but you know what? I'm not going to do that. But the commentary is priceless. If you don't mind, let's just take a view of this.
And we'll
comment from there. Go ahead. Oh, got to go through the ads. Sorry about that. Hang on. It's okay. And by the way, great shows on thelibertyman.com, thelibertyman.com. Great shows. And it's of late. Not that your other ones weren't, but.
Thank you, Doug.
You've been hitting some good stuff. All right. Here we go. Watch this.
All right. I will tell you, this Arizona story, like I said, I did not expect to be seeing it, to be covering it again, tonight after we covered it last night. It is obviously strange. It's laughable in lots of ways. But the president, former President Trump, put out a statement today lauding this and talking about how this was going to reveal the truth of the 2020 election and citing a whole bunch of other states that are also going to now do this to reveal the truth of the 2020 election. And he's still maintaining this fantasy that he somehow won and that Joe Biden isn't really the president anymore. He's not the legitimate president. What the Arizona Republicans are doing here, this process by which they are bastardizing the actual secure election from November 2020, and they're going to produce some result that says that it was some other fraudulent thing, will be used by the Trump part of the Republican Party and the Trump right to cast doubt on the 2020 election among their most fervent supporters in a way that none of their failed lawsuits in the past have been able to do. They got the actual ballots and they handed them to conspiracy theorists who say that, you know, QAnon is the mastermind or whatever it is that stopped this, that they need to use to stop the steal and all. I mean, the craziest parts of the pro-Trump conspiracy theory world have the actual ballots and are going to declare that something different happened in the election in Arizona than what really happened. And that will become a lie that they try to live on and build on for a long time to come. You watch. This is a ridiculous story that will become very dangerous in the long run. We'll be right back.
Oh, my girl Rachel is so worried. I love this so much. You don't know how much I love this. That is the managing editor, the editor-in-chief of MSNBC. And really, she's the railhead. You know, Stanford graduate, incredibly smart. I don't agree with her politics, and she goes down rabbit holes like on the Russia hoax. She gets a little, you know, crazy sometimes. However, she is the editor-in-chief and the chief thinker at MSNBC.
Okay.
And for a lot of the progressive left, she has mini-me.
You get the idea. That's Richard Maddow. And Steve Bannon is being very charitable to her. I think she's, in my view, she's dumb as a box of rocks. She's a science denier, given her proclivities to the same-sex stuff. And in my view, she's got some now, you know what? I'm not going to go any further than that. But the important stuff there is how she's reacting to this. You know, John, let me ask you this. You've had so much experience in the criminal trials, especially homicide, being a homicide investigator, you know, as I have. And have you ever seen anyone that is innocent essentially say, no, you can't look there. You can't search. You can't. I mean, I get the constitutional aspect of things. I understand that. But if they're not hiding anything, wouldn't you think that, in other words, it's kind of like a criminal subject with an alibi. You know, if I'm accused of murder and I've got a solid alibi, I'm not going to say, oh, you can't know. You can't talk to, you know, Jim Bob over there. And he's not, you can't talk to, I'm going to say, talk to him. Or, yeah, you can look at my papers or you look and see that I was here, as opposed to, you know, 80 miles away. You can look at my phone and you can see the communications. I would be trying to, you know, say, yeah, everything is legitimate. Has that been your experience? I mean, in general?
Doug, actually, what I've seen has been more on the part of prosecutors concealing evidence than defendants concealing evidence. Okay. And I've worked several cases where that's been the case. The most recent homicide the Attorney General sent a man to Dent County, Missouri for this trial, and he was very unethical in filing a motion to exclude exculpatory evidence from the jury. The judge granted the motion, and the judge was not allowed to hear the exculpatory evidence. It's a rare occasion. I did have one case, a murder case, back in the 70s where the defendant was attempting to protect other individuals and was ready to go down for a murder he did not commit. That's extremely rare. I guess it does happen. I saw it personally. But what's fairly common is for prosecuting attorneys to conceal evidence and or manipulate evidence. We saw that in the McCluskey matter here in St. Louis, Missouri, where the prosecuting attorney ordered her assistant to have a pistol taken to the St. Louis City Police Department and modified so it would actually shoot as opposed to being a non-functional display piece, which it had a gunsmith. McCluskey's had they were trial attorneys. They had a gunsmith modify this pistol so it could not possibly shoot, and that's what she held in her hand during those riots in St. Louis. And the prosecuting attorney, like I said, ordered the police to remodify it so it would be a working pistol once again. So I've seen many examples, Doug, of prosecutors engaging in illegal, unethical activity, but very few where a defendant will do that same type of activity.
All right. But I guess my point is this is really simple. If you have nothing to hide, now this is, again, I am not talking about constitutional matters or asserting your constitutional rights just because, but if you're in a pickle and you're, well, let's say I'm accused of a homicide, I have a rock solid alibi. But because I'm going to say, look, hey, here's my alibi, or here, look, take a look. I didn't cheat, or I didn't, kill that man, or whatever the case might be. I guess my point is this. The left is really unhinged over this audit, because I believe, they've got a lot to hide. And once you break open this particular crime scene, or, once you expose these criminals in the crime and the magnitude, the breadth, the depth of this, they are going to really, they're going to have some splaining to do. Now, that's what I was getting at,
Well, Doug, you made a good point, but let's go back to Rachel's statement. It's a 2,000 plus year old, way of thinking that if you can't attack the message, you attack the messenger. And that's what Rachel was doing. She was not attacking the message at all, because the message can't be attacked. So she was attacking the messenger, making fun of the messenger, and advising people that the messenger should not be paid attention to. That's what she was doing. The evidence speaks for itself.
They do that well, don't they? Yeah. The
evidence will speak for itself. And she's concerned that an audit, which is done with protocols that give proper safeguards, she's concerned that this audit, which will be properly done with proper safeguards and proper protocols, will reveal what really happened. That's her real concern, of course.
Yes. Absolutely. And, I find it very disingenuous of people of all stripes to say, well, or to have issues with how the audit is being done. You talk about transparency. Well, you remember the boards and cardboard being put up over windows, during the account.
Right.
I mean, none of this. This is all, they're live streaming this, for crying out loud. So in other words, anyone can, and they're wearing, everyone is accountable. The security is heavy. But a lot, there is some stuff going on. I've been hearing, some leftist advocates going in and attempt to sabotage the audit. I've been hearing about this, but in fact,
really?
Yeah, one was a agenda, biased reporter, if you will, for the left, going in and attempting to provide, and did actually provide updates throughout the day, contrary to the instructions of the, but she was supposed to be an observer, okay, and she was. It was just a bad scene, but we have to watch for those people who insert themselves into things like this, and the background checks have to be done. So anyway, so the stuff I've got, John, and you tell me if you've got something more pressing. I wanted to talk about, moving on from the audit, And Georgia is going to be a big thing. We can show Navarro if you'd like, or I'll just leave it as a link in the program description box. But Navarro goes into the details about Georgia, which are just astounding, the numbers there. What I have here are Michigan Representative Jewel Jones. I don't know if you saw that. Threatens to call the governor on police during arrest. I've got that. I've got some DHS stuff with the new New Mexico police officer being ambushed, and the attorney is blaming DHS. I've got some COVID-1984 stuff, and then I've got some historical information from Julia Brown exposing the communist roots and deception of BLM. So that's what I've got. What do you have? Anything of...
Well, my attention continues to be focused on the COVID shot. Just in the last week, since we talked last week, there's been multiple revelations about women who are still ovulating. So between, say, 12 and 50 years old or so, 55, when they're in the presence of a woman who's already had the COVID shot, it's adversely affecting their menstrual cycle and possibly causing miscarriages. This is really scary, Doug, because apparently the people who have had the COVID shot are shedding spike proteins, which is causing these women to have a strange or unusual menstrual cycles and also causing them to have miscarriages. This is something I don't believe we expected, Doug, at least I didn't expect it. It's also causing some issues apparently with men's sexual performance being exposed to the people with the COVID shot. It certainly adds another whole level of concern to the entire deal, where we need to be concerned apparently about being exposed to people who had the COVID shot, which is going to be about half the population, give or take a little. More exposure, of course, of the new variants coming out of Brazil especially, but apparently other places as well. What we're going to be seeing, Doug, is a new vaccination every 6 months. And going back to Mike Yaden, you and I have talked about Dr. Mike Yaden before. Dr. Mike Yaden screaming from the rooftops, don't take the vaccines. And Sam Andrews apparently wasn't aware that I had Mike Yaden's information on my website this morning, and he's advising people to watch Mike Yaden's interviews, which I encourage people also. There's quite a few scientists and doctors, Doug, that are saying very similar messages to Mike Yaden, but they don't have the credibility and credentials of Dr. Yaden, who was a vice president at Pfizer and one of their top research directors before he resigned from there. Gives him head and shoulders credibility above pretty much everybody else, even Fauci, as far as that's concerned.
You know, there is a video, and it's, I believe it's hosted on BitChute or Rumble. You can look for this on your own. Five doctors who got on a conference call type presentation, and they were talking about the, genetic, well, turning everyone into a GMO people, that essentially genetically modified organism. This is what this non-vaccine is doing. And, the number of deaths, I don't know whether you saw the latest, numbers, and I don't have them right with me here, but it's astounding to see that, wow, you know, there are a lot of deaths, disabilities, ER visits, side effects, as you were talking about, of this jab, of this Fauci jab, of the CDC jab. It's incredible when you look at it. Yet people, here we are, for a donut, for a White Castle hamburger, for whatever it might be. Let's go. Let's get it. I mean, so you're right. And this, I asked this question too of Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, and I asked this question of, another guest that I had on, about being in the same room with someone who just received the jab. I'm not going to call it a vaccination, the jab. Yes, you know, there are issues, whether one wants to describe it as shedding, I guess you could, but there are issues indeed. So, how is it that people are so brainwashed that despite the evidence, they want to still take this jab? I mean, it's crazy.
Well, it is, and it's a combination of fear and ignorance. I think most Americans, most of the time, Doug, have especially Caucasian Americans, have an innate trust in medical, the medical establishment, the allopathic medicine. Minorities have an inherent distrust of anything that, that the government wants them to do, which is healthy. I like that. Going back to the longevity, there's, I believe, United States is number 40 for longevity. There's give or take a couple of countries, but there's no excuse for the country that spends more money per person on health care than the United States. No country even comes close, Doug, to the money spent per person per year on health care compared to the United States. And when you got about 38 or 39 countries where people live longer, including some third world countries, by the way, where very few people have hot and cold running water like we do, something's really broken. Something's really, really broken when people in third world countries are living longer than Americans. And the entire, it's not just the COVID. Our entire alleged healthcare system is wrong and broken. Otherwise, the country that spends the most money per person on healthcare could and should have the longest lifespans, don't you think, Doug?
I would think, yes, but...
That would make sense.
Yeah.
But that's not the way it is.
Nope.
That's not even close. The country that spends more money per child in education should have some of the brightest children instead of children who can't pass as a high school graduate or have mathematics skills at the third grade level and maybe reading skills at the third grade level.
Yeah.
And, of course, these people become, you know, rarely do people, at least ones that don't go to college, further their basic skills once they leave high school, their basic skills of mathematics and language skills. And these are the people that become adults. These are the people who vote. These are the people making decisions about the COVID shot.
Right.
People who can barely read and write. So why should we be surprised that Americans, it's about half the population, by the way, half the adults in this country are either illiterate or semi-literate.
Well,
why should we be surprised that these people are making bad decisions about the COVID shot?
You make a good point there. You had said something, and it kind of reminded me of this, and I don't know how many people know this, but the state of Washington, I've got to double check, have said, well, we are going to prioritize the shot, the jab, by race as opposed to by need. So if you're black or in any minority, you get in the front of the line. If you're white, you get it last. Okay, now, given the fact that I wouldn't take the jab, I just find this, again, this troubling what would you call it? This troubling move by, I mean, you talk about medical.
Anytime you express preference by race, it fits the classic legal definition of racism.
Sure.
Of course, in Washington State, there's, you know, the nationwide percentage of blacks in the population is about 12%. In Washington State, it's probably around 3 or 4%. I've spent a lot of time in Washington State and you see very few people of color, as they like to be called these days, in Washington State. As far as Mexicans, Latinos, probably quite a bit more of those. But as I said a moment ago, blacks are inherently distrustful of dictates that come from the government, as well they should be, the way they've been treated the past century plus. Apparently, the whole Tuskegee experiment has been brought to the forefront again, and I think many black Americans are becoming aware of the Tuskegee experiment that weren't aware of it before. And I say, God bless them for finding out, and don't trust the government, and don't get the shot, and hopefully they won't.
Yeah, hopefully they won't. Now, I'm going to cite, again, what you, your source, Dr. Michael Yaden, former Pfizer VP, saying, I don't think you can come up with a better plan for depopulation than the pandemic and vaccines. The title of the, or the headline of the piece here. And a couple of things here. Again, this is a former vice president of allergy and respiratory research at Pfizer. And he said that, I'm going to read this to you because, again, you pointed this out. If you want to depopulate a significant portion of the world, and to do it in a way that wouldn't require destruction of the environment with nuclear weapons or poisoning everyone with anthrax or something. And you wanted to, and you wanted plausible deniability while you had a multi-year infectious disease crisis. I don't think you can come up with a better plan of work than what seems to be in front of me. I can't say that's what they're going to do or doing, but I cannot think of a benign explanation for why they are doing it. That's a quote from Dr. Mike Yeadon.
Right, right. Well, Doug, I've had, executive protection details where I protected people like, Dr. Mike Yeadon. Once you've got to, and he was vice president at Pfizer, but he was head of research. He was not, that was his job, the head of research there, and a lifelong supporter of making what he thought were safe and effective vaccines. Dr. Tenpenny has spent most of her adult life against vaccines and warning people against vaccines. And Dr. Yeadon is the exact 180-degree opposite, supporting what he thought were healthy, effective vaccines. For him to go public is highly unusual. And men of his stature in a Fortune 500 company, Doug, they don't drive themselves to work. They have a bodyguard-driven limousine that takes them to work. They're too valuable to be exposed to the traffic in the public highways. Much too valuable. I've been around folks like that. You have also. I was in charge of Ambassador Alan Key's security for a day. Brilliant man. And he makes Obama, Hussein Obama, look like a white man. Ambassador Keyes is a very black man, absolutely brilliant. And I was honored and privileged to be in charge of his security for a day and drive him around St. Louis to his various destinations. But Dr. Mike Yeadon is an anomaly. Men like that, they don't go public. They take their beautiful pension and they buy a condo in Florida and you never hear from them again. And that's it. For him, a man like that to go public is so completely bizarre, so completely unusual. And God bless Mike Yeadon for doing so. We need people like Dr. Tenpenny because she brings a lot of science to the table and a lot of credibility. But Dr. Yeadon is an extraordinary individual. At this point, Doug, we could probably find 500 medical doctors that would repeat Dr. Yaden's message. But Dr. Yeadon stands head and shoulders above them in terms of credibility. And credibility is so, so very important, isn't it, Doug?
Well, yes, it is. And the credibility of those of us who are taking, or trying to expose what's really going on with these depopulation inoculations or depopulation jabs. I refuse to call them vaccines, but people identify with that word they're not. I mean, this is a pathway to absolute control, absolute social and medical control, specifically social. And that's what I believe Dr. Yaden is saying. This is a pathway to control every aspect of our lives. And I have a problem with that. And I think everyone should as well. This is not about if you really want to get back to normal, then you'll take the jab and it'll help you get there quicker. No, this is about subjugation of the population. And that's what enslavement and ultimate death of the population. I believe, let me ask you, do you believe, that we're going to be seeing, people, maybe suffer and die in the next, in the near term from as a direct result of these jabs? And I'm not talking about the 5,000 who've already been identified as dying as a result of this worldwide, the jabs. I'm talking about...
Well, Doug, we will. Going back to Dr. Yaden, the vaccines that he supported his entire adult life and had to go through proper testing and protocols, which included animal testing. There have been multiple attempts, Doug, to create a COVID vaccine in the past. None of them, not a single one, got past the animal testing. Why? Because all the animals died. Now, this emergency authorization, it's not FDA approved. This emergency authorization, people are getting shot in their arms for Pfizer and Moderna and Johnson & Johnson did not go through the animal testing stage. Now, we are the animals. The testing is being done. And here's what happened to all the animals. So they got the shot, and then when they're exposed, as it said, in the wild to a coronavirus, and there's about at least 24 coronaviruses, their body couldn't fight it. And the animals all died. I'm doing this in layman's terms, not scientific terms, but that's what happened. The animal's immune system lost its ability to fight things that otherwise it would be able to fight. And when it comes to human beings, this would include the common cold, by the way. The common cold can and will kill you if your immune system can't fight it. And that's what we're looking at, Doug, probably beginning in maybe 6 months. I believe Dr. Tenpenny said 48 weeks, which is real close to a year. We'll start seeing people not die from the shot in specifically, but die from the opportunistic diseases that people's bodies can't fight anymore. And, of course, what's called a cytokine storm also, where the body's reaction is an overreaction. And that kills people also.
Right.
So, yes, Doug, we will start seeing people die in the 6 months to a year. I firmly believe that, sir.
All right. Well, and I do as well. I don't know how exactly this will play out, but I think when they talk about population control and ultimate killing us, I really believe this is the way. Now, again, I don't know exactly what it's going to look like, how it's going to play out, but the plausible deniability with all of this, people should really – get this. There was a huge report that came out. I can't even send it over to Eric. It's so large of a file. A huge report that came out, monitoring the side effects from the jabs. All of the, not anecdotal, but direct evidence of the Pfizer, Moderna, J&J, and, whatever the fourth one is. All of the news articles, all of the reports, social media entries. It's this huge file of the deaths and side effects, hospitalizations, paralysis. I mean, I don't know what to, I looked at it and I'm thinking, you know, if anyone would do research, I can't see how anyone would say, okay, yeah, sign me up for this.
Well, I don't, Doug. And you have to be capable of doing research before you can do research.
What you said.
But there's something I should mention as a matter. People can treat it as humorous or can treat it as serious. You can buy on Amazon.com COVID immunization records, blank ones. I got the official CDC seal on it. Yep. And then fill it out yourself with the date, the lot number that you got your two COVID shots. If you think you need to do that, they're available at Amazon.com. They're sold in lots of 10 with a handy plastic holder and a lanyard that you can put it around your neck if you need to.
You know,
how about that?
But that, I believe that will be used. Here's my theory or my feeling on this. In theory. My theory and feeling. I believe that those cards will be used as the predicate or the reason. Hey, you know what? There's so much fraud going on and it's endangering the people who really, are conscious of this, the collective well-being of our country or countries or globe or planet, whatever. So what we need to do is we need to have safeguards against this kind of fraud and digitize the, records. And that's, I believe that'll lead to either implants or some sort of electronic digital passport. And that should be the biggest, in my view, this should be the push toward this, what they call a vaccine passport or digital passport, should be the biggest story on everyone's mind because it's so biblically relevant right now. It's, I mean, you can read in the Bible what this is all about. Now, it's not, I don't know if it's the mark of the beast. I don't know. I don't care. But the fact of the matter is that they would do this. Certainly is disturbing enough and close enough to the mark of the beast where I don't want to get near it, man. I mean, you know, I just don't want to get near it.
Well, we're already at a point, Doug. If an American wants to travel to any of the European Union countries right now, they have to show proof of vaccination. Yep. That's right. Yep. Now on the 26th day of April, 2021.
Yep.
If you want to board passage on a cruise ship, which I think they'll be back in operation maybe midsummer. You're going to have to show a proof of vaccination. Except children, they have to take a COVID test before they're allowed on the ship. So we're already pretty far down that road, Doug, of having to show proof of vaccination. Will it become digital? Well, with the technology we've got, it'd be pretty easy to do that, wouldn't it?
Yeah. But I'm looking at the bigger picture here as you are, but so if we back up and we see what was unleashed upon us, in 2020, and then we look, go to November of 2020, because we start out the program talking about the Arizona audit and such. And I ask myself, you know, how can people do research or even be aware of, anecdotal information, about the jab and still take it? Yet there are people out there who believe that a 78-year-old man campaigned from his basement, that believe that after he picked one of the most, unpopular VPs, remember, you know, she didn't have any support in the race.
First one to drop out.
Yep. And to believe that they received more votes than any candidate in the history, and it all happened at 4 a.m. To believe that the inauguration, empty inauguration, and to believe that they need to, you know, or the fact that they had to have 20,000 troops protecting this inauguration, and nobody can question any part of it. Folks, do you think there's something wrong with this? I mean, I guess looking at this from a larger perspective, I guess I can see how people will say, yeah, okay, yeah, I want to get back to normal. I want to get back to normal so bad. And you know, the other thing, masks, if we have that picture of AOC, I referenced this, I think last week, masks don't work. And you talk about unhygienic. Look at that. I think part of her face melted off into that mask. That's her makeup
on there.
Right. But yeah. Still, man, that's pretty flipping gross. I don't care if it's makeup.
It's disgusting.
Or it's, yeah. Yeah.
Well, Doug, I just learned something in the last day or two about the mask and when it comes to small children, under 4 years old, it causes permanent, non-reversible damage to their brains. Because of the reduced oxygen and increased CO2. Mike, you and I are friends with Mike Adams. Mike Adams interviewed this woman, and I hope to have it on my website, this female lawyer. And it's one of the things she mentioned is the irreversible neurological damage to the brains of small children wearing these masks. That is absolutely criminal. In our society, references to the Third Reich are made far too often, usually with little or no basis in reality. But what we're seeing taking place here and the comparisons to the Third Reich and the outcome of the Nuremberg War Tribunals are very accurate. Now, I started mentioning this a year ago, Doug, about the Nuremberg War Crime Tribunals and how to give anybody a medical procedure or a medicine of any kind, including vaccines, they must give informed consent first to be compliant with the Nuremberg War Crime Tribunal findings. And that's not what's being done. It's not being done that way at all. People are taking at face value what they're told by their healthcare professional that the COVID shot is safe and effective. When it's not safe, it's not effective. If it does anything at all, it gives you a reduced form of the COVID-19 if you get it. If it doesn't stop you from getting it. And then it shuts down your immune system when you're exposed to any other virus of any kind. It's absolutely horrendous, Doug.
Indeed. It is horrendous. You had mentioned something. This is the 2006 origins of the lockdown idea, Eric the Tech, that it's second from the bottom on the show prep stuff. You had mentioned, you had come on this program, and it was right after the social distancing thing. And folks, look at this, okay? John Moore is correct, in number one, the Nuremberg issue, which we're going to get to more in a second. But equally important, I believe, where did this 6-foot social distancing law or rule come from? And John, what did you say? If you don't mind, keep that up there. Keep that up there for a minute.
Well, there was a 14-year-old female high school student that wrote a term paper. Her father worked for the federal government health department, and he thought, well, this is great. We'll just go ahead and implement this and make it nationwide policy. No science behind it, no evidence, just the thoughts of a 14-year-old high school student. And that's where it came from, Doug, and I verified it. I first heard that, I thought, this can't possibly be true. It turned out it is true. Very strange.
The American, what you're looking at there on the screen, and folks listening on the radio, you can go to HagmanReport.com, click on that today's episode, and you can click through to this specific webpage, American Institute for Economic Research. And you're right. And you know, it notes, this article notes that we didn't lock down the entire country back in 68 and 69 and, or 57 before that, or 49 and 52 before that, or even in 1918. And it goes on to say the origins of the social distancing rule, you know, where you have to stand in those little red squares or red circles in the grocery store. Not me, but, it does state in there. New York Times, April 22nd, 2020, tells the story of John, what John has been saying. This is coming, this came from a, high school kid.
Well, if you cough or sneeze, Doug, the particles go 90 feet, not 5.5 feet, and drop to the floor. 90 feet.
I've seen Eric's go like, go 100 yards, man. I'm telling you, you know, I've seen some amazing things with a dispersal of, with aerosol dispersals. And, yeah, this is not going to help you. All right. Check this out. John, if we can get the cringeworthy Fauci, you know, we talked about the COVID-1984, Chinese Communist Party virus. We talked about the response to that. I came across this and I really thought this was satire. Check this out.
Dr. Fauci.
Hang on a minute. It's all right. If we can. I know. Eric the Tech, I give Eric the Tech like a 1,000 notes, little pieces of paper and post-its, and napkins and whatever. And he's got to like deal with that. So, and plus, when something's on Twitter, for example, it's just difficult to translate into a broadcasting platform. But here it is. Here, check this out, man. With the audio back up. Hang on.
Dr. Fauci, give us vaccines. Help all the people who have been quarantined. We'll wear our masks and we'll have to stay distant. We'll wash our hands and we'll be more resistant. Fauci, yes? Promise us, please. We'll have a cure that can fight off this disease. Restrictions will lift with some ease. Dr. Fauci, don't forget me.
I have one word. Swirly.
John, kind of makes you want to do this, doesn't it?
Well, it was clever. It was funny. And unfortunately, about half the country will think it was a factual little demonstration.
You can't make this up. I thought it was a joke. I really did.
You know, Anthony Fauci in high school would have been the president of the chess club that no girl would go to the prom with.
One word. Swirly.
Am I right?
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah, you're right. James Corbett Report did a great expose on Fauci. Bill Gates, Fauci, the whole crew here. Yeah, you're right. Is that why he wants to kill us? Because he couldn't get any in high school or what? I mean, I don't want to crass.
He may still be a virgin for all I know. Well, the elites regard us human beings as a virus, that human beings are a virus to be exterminated. They really do believe that. Even the elites that run Israel want the same thing. They want 90% kill off of Jews, the Jewish people who run Israel. They hate themselves.
I don't even know what to say to that. I saw that, John, and, you know, or what's going on over in Israel. And what the heck?
Well, it's a kind of a running contest between Israel and Great Britain as to which country has the highest percentage of people getting the COVID shot. They're both way, way up there. But the point of this part of our conversation is that the people in charge of these vaccinations, the elite, as we sometimes refer to them, they hate human beings. And what they want is recorded in the Georgia Guidestones, a planet with 500 million people as opposed to over 7 billion people. And most of those 500 million will be meeting their needs as their faithful servants for the privilege of staying alive, while the rest of the planet goes back to its pristine pre-human conditions worldwide, Africa, United States, South America, Asia, and Europe, and so forth. And they published the maps back in the mid-1990s with the Agenda 21 matter. It's all part of the same plan there, Doug, to depopulate the United States, to depopulate the world, and have most areas go back to pristine pre-human days where almost no people were in these areas where people now live and work and play.
You look at things like the Georgia Guidestones, for example, Agenda 21, Agenda 2030. You look at all of these, and I'm going to put this out there because I would like to see a comment or two from our viewers on Rumble or Brighty on for this episode. You look at that stuff and you kind of think, no, you know, they can't do that. They're not going to do that. They wouldn't do that. They can't.
They are doing it.
But they are doing that.
They are doing it.
Isn't there, but like us normal.
We're past the point of speculation and wondering. They are doing it.
No, I get that. But you know, when you first introduce somebody, like when you first red pill someone, or first talk to somebody about the coronavirus or about the Georgia Guidestones, they look at you like, what are you, nuts? But there's always that little, I don't know, that little thing in your head, because we don't think like sociopaths and psychopaths. Sometimes we're forced to visit that mental state, but not stay there. But you know what I'm saying? It's like, tell me this isn't true. And yet it is. I guess I didn't have to sprawl that out. Hold that thought for just one second. Folks, I'm going to thank everyone who supports this broadcast, supports John Moore. Do so, please, by way of his products and by way of our coffee, by way of direct donations to all of us, both of us. I want to thank you for being there for us. And I also want to thank our corporate sponsors, including Lightstream. You know, right now, you know what feels great? Paying off high interest credit cards, getting a lower rate and saving money. And you know, you can refinance your credit card balances and save with a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream. It's an easy way to save hundreds to thousands of dollars and lower your interest rate. Lightstream offers credit card consolidation loans from 5.95% APR with auto pay and excellent credit. It's lower than the average credit card interest rate of over 18% APR. Plus there are no fees and you can even get your money as soon as the same day you apply. It's that simple. Look, they've made it easy for us, the listeners, the viewers of the Hagman Report, and they also have given us a very special deal. Just for our listeners, apply now to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. The only way to get this discount is go to Lightstream.com/Hagman. I'm going to spell it out for you. It is Lightstream. That's Lightstream.com/Hagman. Two N's on Hagman. That's Hagmann. This is subject to credit approval. Rates range from 5.95% APR to 19.99% APR and include a 0.50 5% auto pay discount. Lowest rate requires excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Hagman for more information and you'll thank me later and you'll be glad you did. You'll be saving money and, you'll be calling me up and saying, hey, you know what? Saved a bunch of money. I know that, we had some family members, do that as well. So thank you so much. And again, thank you folks for supporting this broadcast, supporting, people like Health Masters by patronizing Health Masters and also for, John Moore as well. His products on his page and supporting his radio endeavors. All right. John, one more thing, before we move from the, this COVID-1984 stuff. You know, the Calgary pastor,
the guy from Poland.
Yes. He received another visit this past Saturday, I believe it was.
Really?
Yes. From the, Nazis. Now, actually, if we can show the video, this is not the Easter Sunday one. This is this past weekend, like 48 hours ago. And this is what happened. Let's take a look.
Friends, we have a SWAT team in our church again, coming, authorities. So I'm going to go out and see what they want.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh. Hello, Walter.
Hi, Arthur. I wonder if I can just give you a couple of things in the court order. This is for you. It basically outlines the fact we have the right to enter today. What I would really...
Please, you don't have to get into a personal space. Thank you.
Well, you're in my personal exactly. space. So.
Can I explain to you, Arta?
I'm not can really I, interested I, in what you have to say.
Can I explain to you?
I'm reading.
Okay. What we'd want to do is make sure that we're not going to disrupt anything with the service. The idea
is... You have
a
wrong. Well, this is not street church. This is not street church. You have a wrong...
Both things are actually on there. Both churches are detailed on there. So if we could come and do
the cave of Adullam is not a registered organization, and this is not street church. So you have a wrong. You gotta do your homework first before you come. Okay? You have a wrong organization.
Okay, that is for you, Arta. Yeah. I will send it to you by email too, if you'd like. I just wanted to be able to come today and then at least explain the order, serve the order. And then we can stand at the back.
No, you can contact. No. You can contact my lawyer. Okay, my lawyer takes care of this. I'm not interested to listen to any word you have to say. I do not cooperate with the Gestapo. I do not talk to the Nazis. You came in your uniform.
Hey, John. So subsequent to the Easter Sunday, there's more to this. It gets better, but just to explain, subsequent to the Easter Sunday, they went to a court. They got an order. That would allow them to conduct surveillance inside that church. I'm kind of summarizing this because the audio is not really clear here. So they would have this force standing in the back of the church watching to make sure social distancing guidelines, in whatever health guidelines there are. Okay. Now this was an order, it's my understanding, that was handed to Arthur Pulaski, the pastor, while church services were going on. We'll continue moving forward on this.
Like thugs, that's what you are. Brown shirts of Adolf Hitler. You're Nazi, Gestapo, communist, fascist. I do not cooperate with Nazis. Talk to my lawyer. You're not allowed here. You're not welcomed here.
Arthur.
And I'm not going to cooperate with Gestapo like you, okay? So is that fair enough for you?
Arthur,
Talk to my lawyer.
I just wanted to explain a little bit about the order.
I'm not interested.
I just wanted to at least have a conversation.
I'm not interested in talking. You see, this is what the Gestapo is doing. You're coming to the place of worship. To intimidate and to harass. So you can make an appointment. Lady, listen to me. You can make an appointment. Another day.
Okay.
You're Gestapo. Another day. Not this day.
Okay.
Not during the church.
Okay.
You understand?
Okay.
Make an appointment.
Okay.
So go.
See you later on. Have a good day.
You are sick. That's what you are. And rightfully so, you change your uniforms to black because you're exactly acting like the Gestapo of old. Sickening what this country came to. Coming to the place of worship with their uniform, with their guns, again, during the time of worship. They could do it another time. They could do it another day. No, they are following the orders of the Führer, Hitler, communists. Unbelievable.
All right, unbelievable. You can pause that. Now, he explains, and this is so important, John. This is in Canada. Now, he explains that there's a law up there, but there are laws here in the United States even more with bite. But he explains there's a law up in Canada where this cannot happen. You cannot disturb a church service or a worship service while it's going on. All right. I mean, unless there's some type of felony taking place, somebody in, you know, you just can't do that. And yet they did this. Now, I would say the next stop for this pastor is going to be a Canadian jail. But in my view, when that happens, before that happens, and this is just my view, number one, John, I'm going to tell you, any police officer, anyone with a badge, anyone attempting to do what they just did, I have no problem stacking them up like cordwood, their corpses outside of the church. And you might think, well, that's not very Christian-like. Yeah, you're right. But how else are you going to fight this? Because they're not going to, this is going viral. John, help me here. This is going viral. And people are saying, hey, wait a minute. You mean they left? You mean I don't have to comply? Wow. And the government knows that they're not, the emperor knows that he's without clothes. The emperor knows that these are toothless. And if we stand up in the numbers that are needed, and if we push back, hopefully it won't come to stacking these bodies up like cordwood, but I don't have an objection to that if that comes to that, and I'll be the first one out there. And you know, you might say, well, Doug, oh boy, are you in trouble? And you're not very Christian. And God, you know, that's not what Jesus would do. Well, I'll tell you what. John, I would, you know, if I'm wrong, I'll have to repent, I guess.
Well, Doug, let's go back a year ago. There were one church, maybe more than one that I'm aware of in the United States. They held a outdoor service in a big field, a really, really big field. The people attending the service were in their automobiles with the windows rolled up. And listening to the service on their radios was being broadcast on a FM frequency, and they got shut down by the police. So this has already happened in the United States, and these people were doing their best to comply with the non-scientific, non-medical protocols of social distancing and all that other silliness, but they still got shut down, despite they were in their vehicles with the windows rolled up. The police shut them down. Do you recall the incident, Doug?
I do. And there were actually several, including.
I would think there would be. Yeah.
And my good friend and, friend of, Dr. Ted and Dr. Ted Brower in Austin, Rodney Howard Brown. And, you know, people know him as, from historical, times, but he had he said, no, I'm not going to shut down. And of course they threw him in jail. But I remember what you're talking about, and people did leave, didn't they?
Oh, yes.
They complied with this unlawful order. But see, I like Mr. Pulaski. I like him. I like his reaction. I'm right there with him. I would shout them down. I would push them out.
Now, let's go back to what the police wanted. My understanding, it was kind of convoluted, but the Canadian police, in their SWAT gear with body armor and handcuffs and pistols, wanted to stand at the back end, inside the church while the service was going on to monitor the service. Is that accurate, sir?
Yes, sir. And it's my understanding that paper was an order from a court. Now, I suspect, I don't know Canadian law. I suspect it was signed by a judge up there to do just that. And he said, uh-uh. Now, I don't know if it was an actual court order. Okay, I didn't see
well,
the paper.
Well, she was using the terminology, a court order. We don't know if it was or not. Now, I'm not, British, English, Canadian law is different than the United States, but in our system, it would have been an official such as a healthcare official making a request to a court to issue the order.
Okay, now that's what she was. She was a healthcare, and she brought the Gestapo cops with her.
Right.
All right. I just want to make that clarification for anyone that saw that and stuff, but the link will be in the program description.
In our country, it may have been countersigned by a prosecuting attorney to give more weight to it, to give the judge, because judges like to sign orders that have some basis in reality, backed up by statutes of some sort. And this would be a health ordinance, and in this country would be a health ordinance, not a statute, which would be kind of shaky ground for a judge to issue an order on, to say the least. But if there's a Canadian law forbidding that, that's very powerful evidence that it could not or should not have happened in the first place.
Now, that was like a 8.5 minute video. So later on, and either in that video or one that he did subsequent to that, he cites the chapter and verse of the law up in Canada saying you can't do that. You can't stop. You cannot interrupt a worship service in progress. And you know, where in the hell are videos of these kinds of things taking place at mosques or synagogues for that matter? They're always Christian churches. Why?
Or what about the casinos?
Yeah. Yeah, sure. Hey, you can get, or shake and bake places. Massage parlor. Walmart, big box stores. But I really believe in my heart of hearts, they are coming after Christians because they really believe that we're the, We're not gonna put up a fight. You know what? We're too nice. Or what would, you know, Jesus would not do that.
Well, right? the North Vietnamese generals thought that American soldiers were, fat, lazy men who wouldn't fight, and they found out different. They found out real different.
Well, let's see. In my case today, I don't know. I'm not necessarily lazy, but no. But you're right. You're right. I mean, there is that perception out there. But
American soldiers, they thought American soldiers would give up and surrender when the going got tough. American soldiers did not surrender.
No.
They simply did not do that.
So, John, I'm going to double down on my statement. And this is just me. You don't have to agree with me. No one has to agree with me. But I believe the only way we are going to get out of this is when we fight back with arms. All right. Now, I know what I just said. I'm not advocating it. I'm not saying go out and do it. I'm saying the only time that we're going to be victorious is when they know that when they come to shut us down, that we stack their bodies up, and we know they're going to have to notify, you know, their families have to get a notification that, you know, Bob ain't coming home for supper tonight. That's my view. Now, am I being unreasonable here, John? I mean, feel free to say I am.
What you're stating, Doug, could become reality. I hope and pray it doesn't become reality, but I know out here in my neighborhood, we've got a lot of churches of different denominations, and I know my neighbors. Everyone is armed. Every man and most of the women are armed. And you mess with these people's churches, you're going to have a fight in your hands. You're going to have a physical fight, not a verbal fight. I don't know who would do it. The deputy sheriffs aren't going to do it because they're from this community. The state police, it's kind of iffy. It would take officers from someplace else, maybe foreigners, maybe United Nations troops. And you want to start a war? You start messing with people's churches, you're going to start a war, Doug.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, I totally agree. But see, here again, they're coming at us from all different angles, and they're coming at us with the restrictions, these lockdowns. I don't know whether there's a restaurant out in California, Tin Horn Flats. Now, Right Side Broadcasting was out there on Saturday. And the reason I mention this, now, Tin Horn Flats is this local tavern bar. It's been operating since 1978. All right. So now folks, think about this. And John, I couldn't believe what my eyes, what I was seeing. This is in Burbank, California. All right. So the city of Burbank, they've got this council. Constantine, I can't remember his last name. He's an avowed socialist. He was homeless back 16 years ago. And he got himself elected to the Burbank City Council. Anyway, they shut down this bar, and the bar reopened. And they shut it down again, reopened again. So let me fast forward to now. Surrounding this bar is a fence. I know it's probably 10 foot high. And it's a permanent fence because they drilled down into the concrete and actually put this fence in concrete. They locked, padlocked.
They who?
I don't know who did it, but it was at the orders of the Burbank City Council.
Okay.
So gotcha. They shut this restaurant down. They padlocked the doors we're not talking about, you know, master lock combination locks, you know, for your high school locker. I mean, big locks. They cut off the utilities. This is a restaurant too. When they cut off the electric, they brought generators in, and they cut off the power, they cut off the water, they padlocked the doors. Then they put sandbags, and I'm talking about numerous sandbags across the entrances to this tavern. And then that's not enough. They put up this chain link fence. They drilled down into the pavement. And all around this bar, this tavern, to keep this owner from operating. Now, John, if I'm paying property taxes or if I own that building, let's say I own that building outright. I owned it since 78, so it's been in the family since 78. So, okay, and what is that, 43
years. Right.
Maybe I don't have a mortgage. Maybe I own that building. I'm paying property tax. I'm going to tell you what, John. This is just me, okay? One night, I would probably have, some kind of a machine that would take that fence out in about 5 minutes.
A backhoe would do that pretty quick.
And I'd have tiki torches in there. And bottled water or something, but I'll tell you something. There's no flipping way that some measly, mealy-mouthed communist on a city council or a city council is going to tell me I can't make a living. And you know what? God bless the owner, all right, because they had a little rally out there. But rallies ain't – you know what? Rallies aren't going to do this crap anymore. I'm telling you right now. We need to – it is my view that we are at the point where you want to do this? You want to play these games? We ain't complying. And I'll tell you what, that fence is coming down. It should have never went up in the first place, but that fence is coming down. And these are fighting words, but you know what? I think at this point we need to fight. I hope it could be resolved elsewise, but I just don't see it. I just don't see it. And going back to the church, I don't see it.
Doug, this bar and grill in Burbank, are they the only ones that have been shut down,
there's everybody else? Friggin' Taco Bell a block and a half down the street that's open right now. And there's some of the family joints have been shut down, the smaller businesses that complied, you know, and try to be good people, and you know, but they're one of a handful of non-corporate chain restaurants that have been, you know, shut down in Burbank. Yeah. You know, or not just restaurants, but other businesses, family-owned businesses. So I want to know, I mean, if Taco Bell is operating down the street, a block and a half away, and they're shutting me down, I'll tell you what, we're going to have some issues. All right. But this is California. John, I'm back to the point where I'm not speaking for you, but this is my view. If we don't start saying, you know what, these are fighting words and you're going to get a fight and you come here I don't care if you have a badge. I don't care if you're fed. I don't care if you get a tank. I'm going to do what I can to destroy you, send you home in a body bag. That's me. I hope it doesn't come to that. I hope we can resolve this. But if we can't, and if you're not going to let me open my business, you're going home in a friggin' body bag. That's me. But, hey, what do I know? and, you know, meanwhile, I got to show you this, too. Because I got one more thing. I got two things I want to show you, but I want to show you this. Can we put up this Michigan lawmaker? Eric the Tech's over there eating nachos or something. I don't know what he's doing. I love you, man. I'm kidding. The Michigan representative Jewel Jones. See, it's the laws are for thee, not for me. When you are a communist socialist dirtbag, like this dirtbag, and this dirtbag happens to be named Jewel Jones, and this dirtbag is in Michigan. He's a state representative in Michigan. That's what this dirtbag is. And see, over the weekend, you know what this dirtbag did, John? Okay, I got to tell you this: what this dirtbag did. I like saying dirtbag. He's driving along in his Tahoe, all right, and with his license
riding
plate.
Riding along my automobile.
Right. I was just thinking about that song. He's driving along in his Tahoe. Now, this is completely normal for an elected representative. He's got his license plate. You know his vanity plate says, elected. All right. Wow. Okay, so he's driving along, passing cars, going like a bat out of you-know-where, right? He's got a female passenger in the passenger side. And he's cruising. And, man, is he cruising. And so he's got a blood alcohol level of over 1.17, over twice the legal limit. He's got a Glock in his cup holder. And God, Lord knows what he was doing with the passenger, because when they found him in the ditch after he crashed, her pants were around her ankles and his pants were halfway down to his knees.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
That's a very vivid picture you paint there, my friend.
Okay. So here's how the media reported on this dirtbag. Can we play that? All right, here it comes.
Livingston County Sheriff's deputies racing to a combative State Representative Jewel Jones. He was allegedly going after paramedics and state police troopers responding to Jones and his passenger after he crashed his SUV along I-96 earlier this month.
Dude, I can't believe that.
Newly released dash cam video Friday shows deputies coming for backup after Jones is accused of assaulting paramedics and troopers trying to help. He had a blood alcohol content of more than 0.17 and a handgun in the cup holder.
Man, I look out for your auto sign, man.
That's Jones trying to negotiate with officers. In a police report, Jones is said to have used his position as a lawmaker, saying he'll call Governor Whitmer, even referring to her as Gretchen, and threatening, saying he runs the state police budget. Troopers would tase and pepper spray Jones, they say, for resisting and becoming physical.
You want us to wash your eyes off?
Jones refused medical care and was placed inside of a deputy squad car under arrest. Here's audio from inside.
Maybe a phone call? Eventually, yes. Not at the moment.
Not right now?
Not right now.
I would like to go home. The only place I was going after this.
Jones is now charged with 4 counts of resisting and obstructing a police officer and 4 other charges. He remains a lawmaker representing Inkster and the surrounding area. Jessica Dupnack,
all right.
Fox 2 News.
So, John, that's the way the media reported it. But when you look at the full dash cam footage and you look at the all the evidence, they don't mention anything about the passenger and about him with his pants down and her with her pants down and on the side of the vehicle when the paramedics got there, and it looked awful strange. She was unconscious, and he, I don't know what he's doing. He's holding her up, maybe. I don't know. And the gun, did they mention the gun? Oh, yeah, they did mention the gun.
I did mention the gun in the cup holder. All right. Yeah.
Okay. But, the other things, and the name dropping of, I'm going to call Gretchen, and they're going to give me your badge numbers because she's going to have you on desk duty. This was like an entire, this was not just a, you know who I am. This was, oh no, this was loaded with threats and innuendos.
Oh, yeah.
But that dirtbag is still out there telling, you know, making laws, making state laws in Michigan. How far, how low do you have to go? I'm just saying. I don't know why I thought that was important.
Well, thank goodness the police did not cave in to his threats at all. They did the right thing for the right reasons, and they took him into custody.
You know, yeah, but see, when you, I guess that to me, this gives insight into the mindset of these people who are making these laws, these elected and unelected officials saying, you can't go to church because you got this Rona out there. Okay. However, and this is why we're not on YouTube, folks, obviously. But you know, here this guy drives, and they follow him for more like 50 flipping miles. Okay.
Oh, really? I didn't hear that part before.
Oh, yeah. This is stuff
red
you don't hear.
Red lights and sirens for 50 miles?
Let's see here. Yep. I-96 for almost 50 miles. Okay. In fact, he was driving so recklessly that at least one person saw him go the wrong way before rolling into a ditch. When police arrived at the scene, Democrat State Representative Jewel, what a jewel this Jones is, and his unidentified female pastor were found with her pants down as the Tahoe remained in the ditch. Jones was holding the woman up near the passenger side door. This, according to a police report, a woman's pants were down as she vomited. A little extra there. This is extra credit, you know, vomiting. And Jewel's pants were partially down when a paramedic arrived at the crash site. Police engaged in a struggle with Jones. And at one point, Jones is on the ground struggling and snarling and fighting with multiple officers. And he shouts, "Let me sit up." And then he uses the N-word, and the woman was unable to even stand up on her own and was unresponsive. But yet, whatever he was doing, I don't know. So when the state police trooper asked Jones for identification, Jones refused. At one point, prompting the trooper to tell Jones, "Don't be stupid, don't be dumb." During the exchange, Jones responds, "I can't do that." When asked again for the his driver's license and ID, at one point, the officers had enough. They put their hands on Jones, wrestled him to the ground. Keep in mind the gun was inside this vehicle, in this right. cup holder. He showed his badge and he said this. Jones did, his lawmaker badge. "I'll call Governor Whitmer right now. When I call Gretchen, I need y'all IDs and badges." That's what he said to the police officers. Never works well for these people. Anyway, they got him in handcuffs and stuff and got her in the rig. And it's an old big thing. You can watch it. But to date, why hasn't Whitmer come out and said, you know, that's really not a good look for you, Jewel. You got to just, you know, take a powder here.
Her staff may have told him privately that he made an idiot of himself. We don't know that.
No, we don't. But, boy, I wouldn't want to bet the farm on that. But that's just
No, not at all.
All right. Now, one last thing, because I really have been wanting to get your take on this. New Mexico. Oh, my goodness. Have you been following this at all? Of course, what the hell are you talking about, Doug? Officer Darian Girard, have you seen anything about this? Have you followed this at all?
I have not. What happened in New Mexico?
All right. The best way to describe this is playing like the first couple of minutes of this video report, and then you can take it from there. It's really a horrific situation. A New Mexico officer gunned down in ambush, and the attorney blames the feds. If we can just roll the first few minutes of this, you'll get the general gist of it, and then we'll go from there.
Extremely graphic video of New Mexico State Police Officer Darian Girard being gunned down on the side of the highway by Omar Cueva. This is a screenshot from it in an article written by the Albuquerque Journal from a couple of days ago titled "Attorney Slain Officer Sent into an Ambush." And we are going to be hearing from the attorney of Officer Jarrett's wife in a second. I do want to be very clear that this video is extremely graphic, and we are going to be watching what led up to the killing, the moment it happens, and then what happens after, to get a full sense of what's going on and to understand better also why they are filing suit against the federal government, basically making the claim that the federal law enforcement agencies put Officer Jarrett into a situation that was extremely dangerous but did not inform him fully of that danger. Now, we are again going to be watching this very graphic video, and we're going to be watching a significant portion of it because we're going to talk about how videos like this can be clipped and used by news organizations to push one or another narrative, and just ask Sam Bregman, the attorney, about how this story has played out in the public eye and what kind of questions he feels like journalists should be asking about this particular case. But I want to be very clear that because we're going to be going through a longer clip of this video to get better context of it, you're going to be seeing some stuff that's going to be, I'm sure, extremely disturbing for most people watching this video. So if that concerns you, I would say you should probably either fast forward, or this may not be a video for you to watch. I just want to be very clear that what we are going to see is extremely graphic. And so please do your diligence. If you have children around you, or you're somebody who doesn't want to see this, this is the warning. We are here with Sam Bregman, who is the attorney for the widow of slain state officer Darian Jarrett. Sam, maybe start with us, like, what happened leading into this, and then we'll play the video and talk about it from there.
Officer Jarrett is a New Mexico State Police officer. He was ordered by his sergeant and instructed by his sergeant in the state police to assist Homeland Security federal agents in an investigation by pulling this, quite frankly, this monster over. He is a known drug dealer. He was on drugs. He was known to be carrying firearms, semi-automatic weapons. He is a bad person all the way around. And yet Officer Jarrett was never told these things. He was never told how dangerous this person was. He was asked to do what's known as a whisper stop, basically come up with a reason to pull him over. And we're not even exactly clear on why they needed him to pull him over at this instant. We do know that they are surveilling this. They have surveillance on this monster, if you will, all along. They knew he was delivering drugs. They knew he was on drugs, and they asked him to pull him over, never telling him how dangerous he was. And Homeland Security agents absolutely knew how dangerous he was, but they never shared that information, in effect causing State Police Officer Jarrett to walk into an ambush and be executed.
When you say that he did not know the danger that he was walking into, is that something that we're going to gauge by what you're saying would be his behavior when we see him interacting with this individual? Or is there documentation, information that we know from the federal government that, hey, this is all they told him?
Well, there's no documentation in my hands at this point. There will be. The state police are currently doing the investigation of his death. I don't know how successful they'll be getting stuff out of the federal agents, Homeland Security, but we're very confident, very confident that Officer Jarrett did not know of how dangerous this person was. You can see by the way he walks up to him. First of all, if he knew how dangerous this gentleman was, he wouldn't have done what he did. He would not have stopped him by himself. He would have had backup, at least another officer, someone walking up on the other side of the vehicle as well. Indeed.
Here it is right here.
And a normal stop.
Now, why did he originally pull him over? What was his reason for pulling the guy over?
Well, he says it's for tinted windows. The tinted windows were too dark. Somewhat of a made up reason to pull him over. He was asked by Homeland Security to pull him over. That's why he pulled him over.
You're watching the last.
Let's hear what he's saying here.
Life.
I know she got temp tags. You got a registration for the vehicle?
Yes, sir.
I'll need registration and driver's license as well.
Okay, so they're kind of going back and forth about the registration. Now, where this, I think, gets, I don't know, you tell me, Sam, but where he starts to pull the guy out of the vehicle here, right?
Right.
He's talking to him. He sees that there's a firearm, right? That he has a firearm in the car.
Well, yes, and there's some question as to about what firearm he saw, whether or not he saw a firearm that's strapped to his waist or whether or not he saw the long rifle that this gentleman walks out with. There is a question as to whether or not this gentleman had – not gentleman, I'm sorry – whether or not this monster had two firearms on him.
Okay. Okay, so he basically says – I'm going to see if I can cue it up to that
part. But what's important is he does see a firearm, mm-hmm. and he doesn't go on full alert like he would, knowing how dangerous this guy would be. If he's got a firearm and how dangerous he is, you'd be responding as a state police officer a very different way than simply saying, hey, when you come to the back of the truck, which you'll hear in a second, mm-hmm. let me, I'm going to go ahead and take that firearm off of you. That's not the way that they would do it if he knew how dangerous this guy was.
Right. Okay. I mean, I think that is an interesting point. So let's...
Yeah. So I can run my checks and I'm writing my checks and then you'll show me the picture right away. It's got paperwork I got to do. No.
Okay, so he sees the firearm. He says, do you mind if I take it off of you for my safety?
Meaning that's a gun that he sees attached to his hip. It's okay. Not the firearm that he's about to walk out with that you see when he actually gets out of the vehicle.
Now, question, and
if you can
perhaps
just
this is not something we necessarily will ever know the answer to, folks, but
the link will be in the program description box.
Very graphic, just a warning to everybody.
Here it is right here.
I'm going to just pause this real fast. Right, this is the huge gun right you're saying there. He didn't necessarily know was on.
It gets worse from there. Trust me. It gets a lot worse. This man was executed. The audio is horrific. The video is horrific. All right. Here's my point. Here's what I wanted to get your take on, John. Years ago, we had Fast and Furious. And you've spent time on that.
I'm very familiar with it, yes.
Years ago, we had Eric Holder and before that, Janet Reno. And we had things go sideways. Eric Holder, most recently after Patriot Act and DHS formation and such. What's going on here? I know that there's so much more to this story, and maybe it's an unfair question, but when you have DHS not informing a police officer, in this case, a guy that is acting on orders to stop him, it's a whisper stop, you know, lame excuse. But is not warned about that this guy's got a string of arrests. He's running drugs and he's a cartel member. What do you, I mean, given your law enforcement experience, your experience with the law enforcement, what do you think about this?
Well, first of all, it's inexcusable, Doug. There is supposed to be protocols in place as to one agency informing another agency of something going on. I don't know what they are between Homeland Security and the New Mexico State Police. There are a lot of unknowns here for me. I assume this is all done verbally over the radio or the telephone. There's no written orders or commands or anything of that nature. If Homeland Security knew all the above, that this guy was a cartel member, had a history of being violent, and they did not inform the New Mexico State Police. That's inexcusable. It's absolutely inexcusable. That stop should have been made with probably two patrol cars and four officers, knowing what we know now. It's just inexcusable. Is the monster in custody? I hope. Do we know that?
Actually, after he shot this police officer fatally, executed him fatally, this monster was stopped up the road a piece outside of Las Cruces, I believe. This happened in Las Cruces. And when the amount of force stopped him, he got out and started shooting and actually wounded another police officer, but they actually put him in custody. And the reason this bothers me so much, John, is this has so much, this reminds me so much of, again, Fast and Furious, the shenanigans with DHS, with ATF, with the federal agencies under Obama, even under Bush, but especially Obama. I can't shake this. I just can't get this out of my head. I don't know. I just wanted you to see it and tell me what you thought, because it's...
Well, the word ambush is certainly, I don't think the word ambush is appropriate, because ambush would be something that the monster had set up in advance. It was, Rose murder on the face of it.
And it
shouldn't have happened. I hope that, his widow, prevails against, the Department of Homeland Security for what they did to her husband. I don't know if the man had children or not, but it's just uncalled for, inexcusable, and should not have happened.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, it is, you know, and look, for all the crap I said about cops, okay, and I mean that, if you're wearing a badge and you're shutting down churches, you're sick. Stop it. But if you're wearing a badge and you want to uphold the Constitution and your oath that you took, I can get behind you. But this, you know, this was an execution, John. And, I'm really concerned about what's happening. I guess this speaks to me, this speaks to a larger issue. And that's, the federalization of the police, what they're trying to do. They're trying to make the police federal, a federal agency under the UN control. And I believe that things like this are part of it. You know, it'd be better communication if it was under federal authority and federal control. That's just the way I look at it. Maybe it's a bigger picture to me. I don't know, but I can't get this out of my head, and I feel bad. I lost a friend back in 91 to a gunshot. He it was a traffic stop, and he was in Houston, and a good friend back then, and he stopped a car, and he was wearing a vest too, and they got him in the neck, got him in the groin. Anyway, I don't know. What are we doing here? Well, you know, what are we doing here, John?
Well, we're commenting on the events of the day is what we're doing, sir.
I know, but I mean, in a larger sense, what are we doing? This is, I don't
know. There will be a national police force. I was at a breakfast meeting more than 20 years ago with a man who told me that the location I was aware of in Metro St. Louis was going to be the regional headquarters for the new national police. So it's been in the works a really long time.
We can't have that. We cannot have the federalization of our police force, because, John, the thing, I did an 8-minute video.
Well, here's what they'll do. They'll do what they've done with other, for example, the U.S. Forest Service. If you're a young man or a young woman and you want to have a great career helping preserve the national forest, and you do you do manage to get hired, you'll never work in the neighborhood that you grew up in. You may have grown up in a national forest, like I'm surrounded by national forest here. They always bring in people from outside areas to perform these jobs. You will never be assigned to where you grew up. That's just not going to happen. They want to make sure that you don't have any connections to the local community.
Right.
That's what they want.
And that's the way the FBI had it too. You know, if you become an FBI agent, they assign you outside of your, at least back. Yeah. They assign you to somewhere where you're not known. You didn't grow up. So yeah.
Well, if you're working undercover, that's important. But otherwise,
Well, that was SOP for the FBI, at least back in '80s and '90s. Once you became an agent, if your town of residence was Erie, Pennsylvania, you didn't stay there. they put you in right. some other field office. But, you know, I don't know what the deal is now. Or, but yeah, but see, John, because I really believe to the bigger picture here, we talk about gun confiscation and, oh, you know, your neighbor, that cop will never bust down your door. No, he won't. It's going to be somebody you don't know.
Right.
And, yeah.
And I'll keep your eye out for United Nations forces. That's all I can say, Doug, because ultimately that's who's going to be doing it, I believe.
Right. That's
Well, a little heads up, somewhat related. The 1994 crime bill, which I have a copy, it's about this thick, 1994 crime bill. There was a provision there to bring former Royal Hong Kong police officers to the United States and have them become American police officers. That was in there. And of course that law passed.
Okay.
<You're> speechless.
Yeah, what do you say? I mean, I stumble over words when I know what to say. I don't know what to say. I mean, so we're going to have Chinese. I get Hong Kong. Okay, I understand the difference between Hong Kong and communist China, but.
Well, over the decades, the communist Chinese have infiltrated many, many communists into Hong Kong.
Right.
In fact, there's a lot of evidence that the whole protest movement in Hong Kong was set up and run by the communists.
Wow. Well, okay. So we have a fight on our hands. I don't know. Can we get our country back? Without fighting, I mean, without hand to hand and bullets and blood and gore and unpleasantries, or is this going to require us to, you know, I mean, what are we going to do?
Well, I can't predict the future, Doug, but the men and women that you and I both work with, that we have learned to trust and respect over the decades, people like Thomas Sowell and others, are not very hopeful in what they prognosticate, not very hopeful at all about avoiding civil war. I've been through one war, Doug. I don't want to see my family go through one because I know what war really is. And it's not 90 minutes in an air conditioned room with a bag of popcorn. War will change you. Everybody who experiences war is changed. That's unavoidable. The ones who survive it will never be the same. I don't want to see that happen, Doug. I hope we can avoid it.
You know, I do as well. The founders, though, our founding fathers, I had a paper on their, you know, what happened to them. Their houses, some of them lost their houses by fire. Some were thrown in jail. Some were killed. These are our founding, the signers of the Declaration of Independence. Let me be clear on that. And you know what? They gave up everything to establish this republic or republic. And I read that paper, that document, and I'm thinking, you know, it's much worse today than it was then. Although I'm not trying to dismiss then, the offenses against us are so much deeper. John, and the people who signed the Declaration of Independence, I believe would have been fighting a number of years ago, you know, a lot of years ago with guns and, well, muskets, but whatever, you know, I'm looking at all of this and I'm saying, what's it going to take for us guys to say, okay, you want to go? Let's go. You want to do it? Let's do it. Let's get this thing over with. Again, I'm not advocating it. I don't want to see it happen. I prefer to be, you know, smoking my cigar and watching the dog run and jump in the meadow. All things being equal, I'd rather be in Philadelphia, but you get what I mean.
Right.
But can we have it both ways? I don't think we can. That's just me. I think we're at this point.
Speaking of smoking cigars, we have restaurants in my neighborhood where you can still smoke inside the restaurant, Doug. I'm serious. We do.
You know, that seems like so long ago, doesn't it? When you could do that. And
No, it's right now.
I mean, I'm going to move. I'm going to move. I just don't know where yet. I'm looking at your place. I mean, your place. I'm going to be a guest in your house. I'm looking at your area because I can't take this blueness.
Nobody wears a mask. Everything's open. Schools are open. All the businesses are open. Nobody wears a mask. Welcome to Missouri.
Wow, man, I'll tell you what. That's Let me just punch the side here by signing the Declaration of Independence. The 56 Americans pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. It was no idle pledge. 9 signers died of wounds during the Revolutionary War. 5 were captured or imprisoned. Wives and children were killed, jailed, mistreated, or left penniless. There goes my pen. Sorry about that. 12 signers' houses were burned to the ground. 17 lost everything they owned, and no signer defected. Their honor, like their nation, remained intact.
Well, those families, the heirs of those families should get reparations, I think.
That's a good point.
That's a valid point compared to the silliness we see in Congress being proposed. But those heirs should be receive reparations for the direct effects of war that they suffered.
Amen to that, brother. Amen to that. All right, we got about 5 minutes left. It's all to you because all I've got is visions of.
Well, Doug, let's talk about what people can do. First of all, prayer is powerful and prayer works. We need to be praying for God's mercy. People need to be looking at their health. Physical conditioning is going to become really big, really quick if things go south. If you live in or near a red city, or excuse me, a blue city, got that backwards, a blue city or a blue suburb, you need to get out or have a viable, realistic way of getting out of a blue city or a blue suburban area, especially if it's in a blue state. That's the worst combination because the governors of those blue states will not respond properly in time to take care of civil disorder. People need to make sure that they've got plenty of water and plenty of food and a way to keep warm in the wintertime if the power grid goes down. The likelihood of the power grid being attacked is very real and a very clear and present danger, Doug. Owning firearms does not translate into competency with firearms. Find a school that will teach genuine tactical skills with your rifles and pistols. And you need a rifle. Americans love their pistols. I understand that. But a pistol is meant to fight your way back to your rifle where you can really defend life and property properly. And you need a team of men and women that you're related to by blood and marriage, maybe people you go to church with, maybe trusted neighbors that will come together to defend the neighborhood if and when the time comes. All these things need to be done. They need to be done right now, Doug, while people have the apparent luxury of time. The luxury of time might be a complete illusion, Doug, a complete illusion. But work on these things now. Make your get your priorities straight and work down on that list of priorities and get things done as quickly as possible, Doug.
You know, I agree with you on that. I'm holding a satellite phone right now, satellitephonestore.com. And the reason I say this is because communication is equally important. They're going to go down and they're going to be, you know, it's not as easy to trace a satellite phone as a cell phone. Satellitephonestore.com. Please, 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 folks, do yourself a favor. These are free with the plan and, it's not that much more expensive than a cell phone. You get a lot of minutes and stuff, but you have to be in range of a satellite or you have to have the accessory to do that. But you know what? Satellite Phone Store is, that's a great place to get your sat phone. Steve Quayle, of course, set up a good plan with the Satellite Phone Store. Take advantage of it. $0 and then just a monthly plan for the text and for the voice. It's really a good deal. Satellitephonestore.com. All right. John, you're absolutely right. You know, it does not, owning a weapon, firearm does not translate into proficiency. And, I do hope that, we don't need them, but until things, kind of get back on track, I think that we better make sure they're oiled, their powder's dry, and they're ready to be used.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Doug. And that cannot be emphasized too much. I've known many men and women both, and you probably do also, who own firearms, frequently very high quality firearms, but they really don't have a clue how to use them properly. And that could be a fatal mistake, an absolutely fatal mistake.
And your guest on Monday, Sam Andrews from Freedom Center USA, can teach you how to use in the throes of combat. Right?
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. I'm one of the instructors at this place also. I teach concealed carry training down there.
It's good to know. John Moore, thelibertyman.com, thelibertyman.com. Folks, go there, bookmark that website, his website, and listen to his radio program. You're going to be much, much more educated for doing so. That's thelibertyman.com. John, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Doug. Look forward to next Monday.
All right,
appreciate
it. God bless. All right, folks, that'll do it. Have a great night, everyone, and just think about the founding fathers. Think about that. Good night.